Psalm 23 and verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, in Luke chapter 15, now the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls his friends together and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. The children are invited to children's worship at this time. Together we have been walking through land with the Psalm 23, and last Sunday we have reflected on verse 2. He settles me lying down in green pastures, he leads me beside still waters. And today we continue to dive into the verse 3, next verse, with the theme of he brings me back to the right path. But I thought, the concept of a shepherd and sheep can feel a bit distant in today's modern society, right? We don't usually deal with the sheep, maybe except when we are at the grocery store debating which part of meat would be the best choice for dinner. Yeah, this joke, I struggle, but yeah, it's a success. It's okay, because we still the world of shepherding, especially as it was in biblical times of the Middle East, is far away from our daily routine. Indeed, Psalm 23 was written thousands of years ago in a very different world. And when David, a shepherd himself, wrote this psalm, he actually was speaking from his own real life experience as a shepherd. So, how can we understand this Psalm 23?
knowledge of shepherding, we might gain some deeper insight into what David possibly meant. One of the most well-known scholars in this area is Kenneth E. Bailey. Now, Bailey not only lived in the Middle East for 40 years, but he seriously observed the lives of shepherding walking the same dusty paths they did. But what really made him stand out was his deep understanding of language and culture. He wasn't just fluent in Arabic, but he also mastered Syriac and Coptic, ancient languages that shaped the early Christian's mindset, right? And he spent decades immersed in the writings of the Eastern Church, uncovering significant insight, often overlooked by Western scholars. Having said that, let's open Psalm 23, verse 3. It says, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." This is the King James Bible. Pretty. Many of us grew up hearing the King James Bible's famous phrase, "He restored my soul." Beautiful. So over time, this translation shaped how people interpret the verse. Something like this: "I was feeling down, and the Lord lifted my spirit and helping me in my trouble and feeling better in my situation and myself." It's good, not wrong. But if we stop there, we might miss something more profound. But the original Hebrew carries a more vivid and clear sense. Not just about feeling better, but about turning the whole being. We call that repentance. Psalm 23 teaches you what repentance means. The phrase, "He restores my soul," in Hebrew looks like this, like a picture, right? We usually read English from left side to right, but when we read in Hebrew, from right side, opposite, right side to left side. So it can be read, "Yeshoveh Nafesh," meaning, "He brings me back." There's no verb, restore, no. Very creative. But only the verb here is shuv, "Yeshoveh Nafesh shuv," meaning to return, repent. But very interestingly, many English translations, almost all English translations, simply follow the nuance of King James Version, focusing on an inner sense of recovery. Why haven't they changed it? Since it is clear, everybody knows the Hebrew now. Well, I think it's a bit like a family recipe going long for decades, right? Everybody knows grandma misread the ingredients. But over the decades, now no one admits it because everybody gets used to it, right? Unlike English translations, Eastern Christianity has kept the original meaning of Yeshoveh Nafesh with the verb shuv. "He brings me back from the wrong path to the right path." Because the verb is clear, and the Greek Septuagint, the Syriac Peshitta, Arabic translation of the Bible, and even the classical Armenian Bible show the same. "He brings me back to the right path." Here's a shuv verb. It clearly means return, repent. So, this isn't just about feeling better. This is like a lost sheep being brought back to the right path. But what's striking if we follow the original meaning is return is not something we do. Because it's not the sheep who finds its own way back. It's the shepherd who goes after it.
Amen.
Think about it. A lost sheep doesn't navigate home itself. It cannot. It panics. It hides. It freezes. And if the shepherd doesn't come looking, the sheep stays lost. So, this verse isn't just about refreshing our spirit. It's about God pursuing us.
Amen.
Calling us back and leading us home. That's what makes this song so powerful. It's not about feeling better. It's not about being rescued. It's not about encouragement. But it's about God saving us. And that changes everything. There is a lost sheep and a good shepherd who comes after it in Psalm 23. That is the heart of this song. This isn't just about a gentle soothing of my heart. It's not like a warm cup of tea or a cozy bed. Cozy blankets for my soul. It's not simply the Lord lullaby our soul, our mind. No, not at all. If that were the case, Psalm 23 would sound more like a spa treatment with a head massage. But the reality is that the sheep is actually lost. The theme of Psalm 23 is the lost sheep and the good shepherd who goes out to find it. That's the heart of the song. That is the main story of the entire Bible, the grand narrative of the good shepherd, God himself, who searches for humanity lost from the greatest paradise, the Garden of Eden. And this grand narrative echoes throughout Scripture. Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 34, Zechariah 10, Matthew 18, John 10, Luke 15, Mark 6, 1 Peter 5, all point to the same truth. God is the good shepherd who searches persistently his lost sheep. That's not just a poetic image. It's the reality of who God is. He doesn't stand at a distance waiting for us to find our back home, ourselves. But he comes after us. He rescues us. This grand narrative flows like a mighty river in Psalm 23. But why are we blinded to that? This is the story of a shepherd. David himself was a shepherd. A true shepherd is someone who knows their flock. Not just as a group, but individually. Each sheep has a name, a personality, a history. Every night, evening, as the sun sets, and the sheep enter the fold. The shepherd carefully counts each one. 1, 2, 3, 98, 99. Then he comes. Something is wrong. One is missing. This is a critical moment. Well, a Western shepherd might think, I still have 99. I will just be more careful tomorrow. After all, 1% isn't bad. Positively. If this were a business, there would still be a solid profit margin. but not a Middle Eastern shepherd. To him, every single sheep matters. He knows them by name. This lost one is out there, alone, afraid, vulnerable. A lost sheep doesn't know how to get back. It panics, hides, and it lies down, unable to move. Now the shepherd has to do something, and he does. He leaves the 99 in the fold and goes after it. He climbs the steep hills, stumbles over loose stones, and walks dangerous paths. He knows the sheep. He knows that when a sheep realizes it is lost, it doesn't keep moving. Because it panics, it hides, it freezes in fear. It crawls under a bush or a rock, trembling, unable to move. And worst of all, the sheep starts crying out. And that sound, the desperate bleeding of a lost sheep, is a call not only to the shepherd, but also to predators. If the shepherd doesn't find it quickly, the predator will come. But in the distance, the shepherd hears it, because he is the good shepherd. A faint, weak cry, just like God heard the grumbling of his people in Egypt. The shepherd does not ignore this desperate cry. He hurries, pushing aside branches and climbing down into a ravine. But when he reaches it, the sheep won't budge. It's too scared, too weak, and too terrified that unable to move. But the shepherd calms the sheep with his hands, gentle hands. And the sheep feels the security, and its fear begins to fade. But still, even though the shepherd is with it, the sheep is still paralyzed. The terror of being lost lingers. It stands there, trembling, too weak to walk. Now, the shepherd needs to carry it. But you know, a full-grown sheep can weigh 70 to 80 pounds. And a traumatized one doesn't make it any easier. No, it is exhausted and afraid, completely helpless. But the shepherd doesn't hesitate. He kneels down and lifts this heavy, trembling sheep onto his shoulders. His face is weary, his body covered in dust from the long journey. The road ahead is rough, the weight is heavy, but he presses on. To him, bringing this lost one home is worth it. And when he finally arrives, he doesn't just quietly return the sheep to the fold. No, he rejoices. He calls out to his friends and neighbors, saying, "Come, celebrate with me. I have found my lost sheep. Let's celebrate with me." That's the meaning of shuv. That's the meaning of Yeshoveh Nafesh. He brings me back. If we only read this verse as "He restores my soul" and turn it into just a nice, comforting thought, we miss the real power of the Psalm 23 isn't just saying God refreshes when we are tired. No, it's saying God rescues us when we were lost. Indeed, the scripture says, even when we were dead in our sins and transgressions, He brought us back to life. That's the power of the gospel. And this gospel is in the center of Psalm 23. Of course, we don't want to miss, don't want to lose this powerful image of the lost sheep in Psalm 23. And the, you know, because it connects with all other stories in the Bible. And Luke 15 is the good example of that. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives the sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. One man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. When Jesus tells this story, it's not just coming up with a new illustration. It's not about new illustration on the spot, but actually, he's stepping into the world of Psalm 23. And the prophets, such as Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah, he's showing that he is the good shepherd that the scriptures have always pointed to. But the Pharisees don't like it. They grumble. Why this scumbag welcomes sinners and evil? And Jesus answers with this story. But he starts very interesting. A shepherd has 100 sheep, but he has lost one of them. This is very interesting, especially in the context of the Middle East. Because they don't say it this way. They always go with passive. In Middle Eastern culture, people usually say the sheep wandered off instead of the shepherd lost his sheep. Why? Because it sounds like it's the shepherd's fault. But in the Middle East, because Jesus said a shepherd is lost one, Jesus flips it. But in Middle Eastern culture, they usually say a sheep is lost instead of the shepherd lost the sheep. Because the shepherd is very careful about the sheep for his own name's sake. He has to keep his reputation as a good shepherd. He acts out of his own integrity. He must be a good shepherd, and a good shepherd doesn't lose his sheep. So they say, the sheep wandered off. The sheep got lost. But Jesus, he flips it, saying, the shepherd lost the sheep. It's a small detail, but it's powerful in their context. Because he's pressing on something deeper. He's pointing at the failed shepherd of Israel. The leaders who were supposed to care for God's people but didn't. Jesus is provoking his listeners, especially the Pharisees. He's reminding them of the failed shepherd of Israel, the leaders of Israel. Israel's leaders were supposed to be good shepherds, but they weren't. Jeremiah called them out. Woe to the shepherds who destroyed and scattered the sheep of my pasture. His skill revealed to them. You have not strengthened the weak. You have not healed the sick. You have ruled them with harshness. And Zechariah warned of them. Woe to the worthless shepherd who deserts the flock. Now, Jesus is standing in front of the Pharisees. The so-called religious leader, the mother of Israel. And he tells this story. A story about a shepherd who loses a sheep. A shepherd who fails. The Pharisees know exactly what it means. Of course, they are not. By the way, who were the Pharisees? Do they have membership? No. The Pharisees, they were a strong religious movement. So no specific boundaries, but a kind of very strong movement, religious movement. Among the Pharisees movement, the Habarim, the friends, had precise and strict rules. The Habarim maintained strict social and purity boundaries. They were an elite group. And anyone who did not belong to this group was labeled as Am Haaretz, the people of the land. As seen in the picture, even their posture in prayer is different. The Habarim is the friends of heaven. And Am Haaretz are the people of the land. The Habarim don't deal with the Am Haaretz. To them, they were not just morally corrupt. They were impure, untouchable. But Jesus, who was seen as a rabbi and teacher of the law, and he was treated as one of the Habarim. But he broke these boundaries. He ate with the Am Haaretz and called them friends. It wasn't just offensive, it was unthinkable. So the Habarim grumbled, grinding their teeth. Because they assumed God's favor belonged the righteous, to those who deeply repented, pursued everything right. They seriously cared about repentance. This is very important for them because it is the condition for salvation. Without repentance, no salvation. In their view, repentance was something people had to do. Struggling, striving, proving their righteousness, their eagerness, their effort. But the story Jesus tells them about repentance is crazy. It's nonsense. For repentance, what Jesus says is totally strange. He doesn't describe a warrior fighting a great battle. He doesn't describe a merchant making a costly deal. But he simply tells a story about a sheep. What kind of sheep? A helpless, panicked, fraud sheep. A sheep doesn't find its own way home. A sheep doesn't rescue itself. A sheep is lost, vulnerable, unable to do anything but just to wait for the shepherd. This is not a story about an athlete training for a big race.
not a climb strolling to reach the top of a mountain. Now, this is a story about a lost sheep, and he's teaching about repentance. A lost sheep, weak, trembling, frozen, totally blind and lost. And a good shepherd who does whatever it takes to bring it back home. Now, this is a question for you. What is repentance? Well, we can answer that based on what Jesus just said. Jesus said, just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Did you catch that? The story was about a lost sheep. But now Jesus shifts from a lost sheep to a person. Now Jesus is talking about a person and repentance. This is the truth. Repentance is the sheep being found. Repentance is not about human effort. It's not about working harder. Repentance is not about proving anything. Repentance is being careful. The lost sheep does not return on its own. The shepherd goes after it. The shepherd finds it. The shepherd lifts it. The shepherd carries it home. So when Jesus talks about repentance, he is not describing a sinner climbing their way back to God. But he is describing God coming after the sinner, dying on the cross. But then, what is our part in repentance? What do we do? Now I can answer this based on the lost sheep. What did the lost sheep do? The lost sheep bleated, cried out. That's all he could do. It doesn't return back. It doesn't prove itself worthy. It simply cries out in helplessness. And that's repentance. Repentance isn't us proving we are worthy of being found. But repentance is being found. It's the good shepherd coming after us, lifting us up, carrying us home. Not because we earned it, but because we love, he loves us. So our role in repentance is surrender. Our role is crying out. Our role is letting him find us. Why? You don't like it? Maybe cry to getting in the way? But what if true pride starts with being found? If we don't realize we were lost, we won't recognize the lost around us. If we measure people by religious standards rather than looking to the shepherd, we will push people away like the Pharisees did. That's what the Pharisees are doing, standing with arms wide open, blocking the kingdom of God. Because the Pharisees saw repentance as a rigid system of effort and merit. But Jesus paints a different picture. The lost sheep. Vulnerable, frozen sheep. And the good shepherd who carries it. But having received this grace, we still ask the wrong questions. Why does God let people get lost? Why does He let me fall? Why does He lose the sheep? By the way, why does He give the prodigal son the money, knowing he would waste of it? We had a lot of stupid questions, but Scripture clearly revealed. God's plan was never about control. It has always been about transformation. In a world ruined by sin and rebellion, God has saved us. We are saved. Yes? Great! Hallelujah! So what? Why? Why we are saved? Maybe because we are part of God's saving work. But too often, we look outward and say, they needed to repent. We think of the people who don't believe, the family members who don't go to church, the neighbors who live differently than we do. But this is my question. Are we really ready to celebrate when the lost are found? Or will we stand outside measuring others by our own standards, like the Pharisees did? You didn't show any effort. You shouldn't repent. You have to pray more. You have to come to church more. But what if the real call to repentance is for us? What if the real question is not who out there needs to repent, change, but are we truly living as God's people? What if repentance is not just for them, but for us? What if we are the ones who must turn back? We own judge. We own to measure people's worth. But we simply live as we are called to. Then others will see the light. Then others will hear God's voice. Then others will be brought back home. We are here in McMinnville at Sunrise Church, not by accident. We are here to reflect the Good Shepherd. So, how will we reflect the Good Shepherd in our daily lives? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for teaching us the true meaning of repentance. You have turned us back to you. And for that, we are grateful. Thank you, Lord. But would you open our eyes to see that you are carrying us home, giving us a faith that surrenders fully only to you. Grant us a faith that is discovered by you, a faith that grows under your care. May we recognize your love that brings us back through the cross. And may our faith grow day by day. In the name of Jesus, who carries us on his shoulders, we pray.
Amen.